Please rise. And hear again the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. And he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Sundays between last Sunday and the last Sunday of the church year, which is the last Sunday of November, all the gospel readings from St. Matthew's gospel account, except for Reformation Sunday and All Saints Sunday, will have Holy Week as their context, the time between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. That was indeed a very busy and taxing time for our Lord Jesus Christ, who knew that the cross and its suffering and his death awaited him by week's end. Yet it was also a time for him to prepare his disciples for what would confront them and the church, which would be founded by the work of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, 50 days after his ascension, 50 days after their resurrection, excuse me. Their ears had not accepted what Jesus had predicted, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. That was scandalous to them. So Jesus knew when all those things started to take place that his disciples would be hard-pressed, that they would betray him, abandon him, and even deny him. Specific to our text for today in the account of last Sunday and then next Sunday's reading are three parables that Jesus shared after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The three spoken in succession are a response to the questioning of Jesus' authority by the chief priests and elders. That's what we heard about last Sunday. They questioned his authority. Their questioning of Jesus' authority is their rejection of him as Messiah, as Lord. The growing tension between them and him was moving to the fulfillment of what Jesus had said to his disciples, that he would ultimately be delivered into their hands because they wanted to put an end to him. The parable that Jesus shares echoes the Old Testament reading for today, which was a musical parable sung by the prophet Isaiah many centuries before. It was a love song about a vineyard that was prepared by the Lord of hosts, which is identified as the house of Israel and as the men of Judah, northern and southern kingdoms of the children of Jacob, descendants of Father Abraham. He had prepared them to produce good fruit, but they yielded only wild grapes. For he came looking for justice, but he found bloodshed. For righteousness, but instead found outcry. In other words, the Old Testament parable that Jesus had on his mind as he was confronted about his authority was this love song that showed how the God of love was spurned by those whom he had chosen to be his people, through whom he had promised that all the nations of the world would be blessed. The teaching that Jesus puts forward for the sake of the chief priest and the elders is foundational to understanding the authority by which Jesus came for us and for all. The authority by which he is teaching, the authority by which he is doing the things that he does, which included the signs and miracles that he did, as well as his cleansing of the temple, which he had reminded the people was to be a house of prayer rather than a den of robbers, a place of misplaced and misappropriated authority. Throughout the history of the children of Israel, there can be found time and time again that they rejected the unfailing love of God, the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If we understand the grace of God and how he has dealt with us, not as our sins deserve, but according to his unfailing love, we too must confess that throughout our individual histories, we have rejected the love of God. In our colic, we call it a colic because it collects the thoughts of the day as a general rule. In the colic for this morning, we prayed, "Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love and grant us the fullness of your salvation." God's love for the people that he has made is rock solid, and yet our sin seeks to chip away at what should be foundational for us, to the point that we too are guilty of betraying, abandoning, and denying our Lord. God had delivered the children of Israel from slavery, their captivity at the hands of the Egyptians, and he had brought them into the land that he had promised to give to Abraham. Finally, they were going to take possession of that land. His love for them planted them in a rich land with great bounty, with things that they had not built, crops that they had not planted, vineyards, orchards that they were not responsible for, and he had given it to them. He provided protection for them from their enemies, even as he had delivered their enemies into their hands. He promised his continuous presence among them in the temple built by King Solomon, and continued to use the prophets to sing of the one who would come to be their Messiah. As his vineyard, they were called to be faithful. And faithfulness is evidenced in producing fruits in keeping with faith and thankfulness to God for all of his benefits and all of his blessings. All right, let me say that again. Faithfulness, being faithful, means that we produce fruits in keeping with our faith and our thankfulness to God for all his benefits and blessings. We don't just come knocking when we need him, but we live a life of faith that bears fruit, fruit that will last. Foundational to the teachings found in Holy Scripture is God's undeserved love for his people and their failure to recognize that love and bear fruits in keeping with repentance, which also implies that we need to repent and being thankful to him for all his benefits, especially the gospel. The vineyard brought forth wild grapes. In our Old Testament reading, idolatry, unbelief, bloodshed, injustice. Those are not signs of God's people. They fail to point ahead to the coming Messiah. Those being addressed by Jesus as he shares his parable are repeating the failures of those before them to heed the warnings of the prophets, to bear fruit in keeping with their faith. They had failed to repent when called to do so by the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. And now they are rejecting the authority of the greater prophet Moses, Jesus Christ. They were heirs of the promise, the nation by whom would come the Messiah, and were blessed by God's presence in their holy place, the temple, which they were misusing. This is by God's grace, completely. And he expected that he would find faith among them and faith's fruits. But he found only rejection among them as they questioned the authority of his promised one. Not only were they questioning his authority, but they were plotting to have him done away with. They would not repent of their abuse of authority and their unbelief. The parable that Jesus shared with them found them pronouncing upon themselves the sentence that they deserved, if you were listening. As we heard last Sunday, when asked about John's baptism and whether it was from heaven or from man, they refused to answer, saying, "We do not know." In other words, the Lord had caught them. They were between a rock and a hard place. And if they said from heaven, the question would be, well, why didn't you believe him? And if they said from man, they had to deal with the crowds who considered John to be a prophet. So they just said, "We do not know." As Jesus shares our parable for today, and the vineyard's tenants abuse and murder of the owner of the vineyard's son, he asks, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do with those tenants?" And they responded, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to the other tenants, who will give him the fruits of their season." Then Jesus quoted the Psalms to them, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Because they would not repent, because they would not recognize Jesus as the last messenger of the Master, the very Son of God, the stone would fall on them and they would be broken to pieces. Indeed, Christ is the cornerstone. On him alone we build, and in him alone is salvation. So where does this parable of Jesus meet you today, some 2,000 years later? What does this parable say to you this morning as you sit in this place where the Lord promises his presence through word and sacrament? Do you recognize that you have in your baptism been planted in the vineyard? This is the Lord's gracious work through the gospel in your life by his grace and his loving kindness. He strengthens us through that same gospel to bear fruit that the Master can use to touch the lives of others so that they might also be included in the vineyard, God's kingdom. We gladly live out our lives of faith, repenting our sins and receiving God's undeserved but boundless mercy, the forgiveness of our sins. In faith, we seek to use our time, our talents, and our treasures in this vineyard for the benefit of our neighbor, which we have been called to love, even as God in Christ Jesus has loved us. Are there times we are unfaithful tenants in the vineyard? I think you know the answer to that question. I do. We struggle with our idols. We struggle with our doubts, our disobedience, our insistence that we have authority while rejecting the authority of God as revealed to us in his good and perfect will. That means there are some things we might repent of and there are other things that we're not going to repent of. We make exceptions to scriptural truths as being for another time and another culture and not applicable to us. We take offense when the law speaks to our hearts rather than bowing humbly before our Master, repenting of our sins and seeking and imploring His grace for the sake of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We must confess that we too are not worthy of the kingdom, of being tenants in the vineyard. But God sent His Son. God sent His Son Jesus for this very reason, to save the vineyard and to save its tenants. And that is what He did. And He did this for you. He faithfully completed His mission for your sake and for my sake. Though He was rejected and killed, God raised Him from the dead and placed Him as the cornerstone of His church. He and the very confession that He is the Christ is the rock upon whom we are called to build. This is the gospel. This is the teaching that is foundational for our life, blessed by forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. This good news empowers us to pray as we did earlier, "Gracious God, You gave Your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed Him. Forgive us when we reject Your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of Your salvation through Jesus Christ, Your Son." This Son came for you. His unfailing love is for you, for today, for tomorrow, forevermore, because this Son Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We confess the Nicene Creed. Please rise. I believe